are tired of women.
That's no good.
Clap for that, you stupid bastard.
To front basket.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
It's been a while.
I know.
We had a lot of things going on.
And unfortunately, we have to do it on Saturday, too.
That's true. Considering what time we'd have to leave and stuff like that.
I need to, prepare my set. So, on
We're Saturday, becoming cave dwellers. We are selling all of our belongings and moving into a cave.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan is going to be DJing a literal cave party.
Yeah, out in the desert. And, if there's any interesting footage, I'll post it up on the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
At least I feel like I'm putting some kind of content up on there. But the schedule, when we're doing this is going to be...
There we go.
A little bit fluid.
Fluid, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
fluid bonded.
Yeah, the schedule is fluid bound. Yeah, I don't know. I feel a little unrehearsed for this one. Even though it really hasn't been that long. Has it?
Fortunately, I think there's enough to talk about to fill an hour, but...
Dude, so much has happened.
But first of all, based on, the schedule being all over the place, because I don't think anyone's, going to really know to watch this one live, because it's not at the scheduled time.
It's not the regular time.
We want to give Bran a giant shout-out to anyone who, watches things live.
Yeah.
He gave us
a very kind donation.
Gifted us a kind donation, and, it was to, theoretically buy new things for the studio. My joke was because we didn't spend it on that.
We don't have any equipment that we need right now.
We had a very lavish date at a really nice restaurant.
Which we needed.
We needed
it. I think it has been a while since we did anything like that.
Yeah. And I made the joke of of course something will probably break in the studio, but fortunately knock on fake wood.
Yeah.
Nothing has broken.
Nothing is broken.
Yet. Yeah.
So thank you, Bran. That was very kind of you.
Most certainly. There he is.
And he's here. Great.
Thank you, sir. What all did we eat? We ate, okay, so we...
At our dinner, we're going to talk about the...
Yeah, we started with, okay, I got a mezcal cocktail, you got...
I got a raspberry cocktail. It's really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Tequila, I think, raspberry, I don't remember what else was in it, though.
So we had two each of those. Good. We got duck meatballs first.
Oh my gosh.
We got another starter, right?
We got oysters.
You got something else, right?
Were the two things, the two starters that we got. And then for our meals, you got...
I got braised short ribs.
Bison short rib.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. And I got the gnocchi, but what was on it?
Oxtail.
Oxtail? Oxtail gnocchi.
Yeah, and then
good.
And we had dessert as well.
Dude.
And
was incredible.
Came out to the... So we were actually shocked, because we got the bill and we're like, wow, we actually did spend all the money Brand gave us. Generous enough, but
I don't think I've ever gone to... Yeah. Gotten to that amount,
It's nice. I mean, something people tell you about what it's like to have, semi disposable income is the feeling of being able to go to a restaurant and order whatever you want.
Yeah, and not worry about it.
Not worry about it. And so, Bran gave us that opportunity, which was very nice of him.
Yeah, it was lovely.
So
thank you. And hi, everybody over on Twitch. Thank you for joining us over there. We're at twitch.tv/thefruitbasket.
Yes. Okay. Slash in the fruit basket.
In the fruit basket.
Yeah, because fruit basket is taken by the anime that...
Of course.
I didn't
even
know
though
about.
It's fruits basket.
Fruits basket, which also is so silly, but yeah,
fruits basket.
Yeah.
How gay.
I know.
What is it even about? Some high school anime?
I've tried to watch it to sort of understand, but I don't quite get it. But the following is pretty intense. So
yeah.
I think a lot of the traffic we do get on videos often is because people are they think that we're going to talk about that show or something.
There's actually another podcast that's called something similar to Fruit Basket Podcast, where they talk about the basket anime.
You're going to do a whole podcast based on one show?
Isn't
Are
that embarrassing?
Serious? It is kind of embarrassing, yeah.
A whole podcast on one show. That will inevitably end.
Yeah. Well, I think it's probably... I don't think it's still going, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I did try to sort of understand it and why we get sort of crossover traffic that... they're like, oh, I'm going to watch this anime that's probably pretty wholesome, and then I'm talking about trans people are fucking annoying. they're like, what the fuck? That's actually a good segue.
Oh, God, is it?
So Laurel Hubbard was the transgender athlete that competed in the Olympics from New Zealand.
We're in.
Yeah. And I actually held my thoughts on this for a while, although you kind of like probably know what I'm going to say. So what like made the story so interesting is like basically like I told you, and I think I said it on the podcast as well, is like if she were to lose, like so a female to male trans athlete that competed in weightlifting in the Olympics, if she were to lose, I'm done.
Male to female.
Yeah, male to female. Did I say it the other way around?
The opposite. But the context changes when it's male to female because she had 35 years of being
a male.
Before she began her transition.
So, and like, let's be real. Like, there's no female to male athletes because, well, they'd get crushed. So, like, and, you know, it's weird because, like, there are, you know, all these events you'll watch. Like, you know, like, there's this funny picture of a male to female athlete, like, sprinter, who is just like a foot above all these women and just like fucking just like, so there is sort of the, like, obviously there's like an unfair advantage. But what I found so fascinating about this thing being on a global stage with Laurel Hubbard is like, so people like myself, I really am indifferent. I'm sort of like, well, you know, look, I mean, like I have criticisms about like, you know, the trans lobby and sort of like how the activists act and how I think that they're kind of their own worst enemy in terms of like messaging and acceptance and tolerance of sort of their condition. But at the same time, it's like I also do really understand how fucking brutal that is to like have that existence and be that person. And simultaneously, like if you already were an athlete and then you also had this other thing going on, you know, it is kind of fucked that you couldn't compete in sports.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, like there's a level of like what made the conversation so frustrating about male to female athletes in sports is that we weren't allowed to like have the conversation. People will get so fucking mad. And it's like, well, I think it's a worthwhile conversation. So what I found so interesting about it as somebody who's neutral and like not on the conservative side of saying that like she shouldn't have been allowed to compete, you know, I was more kind of like using it as I'm curious to see what happens. The thing that was fascinating to me to think about, which was never said out loud, is any trans activist that would fight people like me for even having a neutral opinion was probably rooting for her to lose. Right?
Explain that.
Like, meaning that, like Laurel Hubbard winning would have proved people like Joe Rogan right, you know? But if Laurel Hubbard lost, then it kind of then gives them the argument of, like, we'll see. It is an equal playing field.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm of the mind, kind of conspiratorially, that she might have thrown it for this reason.
So do we know her score?
She didn't even place. Like, she didn't even
medal. She didn't place at all.
At all.
How did she compare to male athletes of the same sport?
Well, before the Olympics, she was pretty much on par with low-tier male Olympians, right?
Yeah.
And so for her to not medal at all in this, I'm like, you know, like,
yeah.
And so I do sort of wonder if it kind of is this like global sort of PR campaign for trans athletes. And like, if
maybe
if they went this fucking far, dude, rock and roll. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, for real. And so like, I just find the likelihood, because I mean, you know, if you see her next to the other female athletes in weightlifting, she's a mountain compared to them. I mean, it's like she just was like a much bigger person. And so, and I think that her event was, I think, overhead squat, which is like also a big advantage if you're, you know, if you were 35 years old before you transitioned into female, you know?
Yeah.
So I still am kind of the opinion that, you know, there is like going to be an unfair advantage, but at the same time, it's like, I really can't get it out of my gut that she threw this on purpose. And like New Zealand is so progressive. I'm kind of like maybe thinking that like, they're like, take one for the team, you know, to kind of push, you know, this
possibly
kind of idea. And so,
and we'll never really know.
We'll never know
unless some bombshell comes out, but I absolutely doubt it.
It never would. I mean, so, because it would be so scandalous. And like, I think that like, it would be like, if they actually were to have pulled this off, which is why I would respect it if this was the case. I mean, it would have had to have been so clandestine and so like intensely secretive, you know, and this person being like willing to be thrown under the bus of like, I'm not even competitive as an athlete, even though I care about being a trans athlete. It's a pretty wild thought, but like the idea that she didn't even place is like, I'm just dubious.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, like I'm done talking about this topic. I'm just kind of like, all right, like I made the deal with all you. Like if she didn't crush everybody, I'm out. But like, I do find the psychology of these like very screechy, loud trans activists, like, it's weird to think about them rooting for this person that they feel like is their, like, they need to be an ally for. They were probably rooting for her to lose, which is like a really weird thing to think about. Like, as somebody who, like, they would get, like, myself, they get mad at me for, like, having sort of like a skeptical opinion about all this. I didn't want her to lose. I was just kind of just like, I'm indifferent, you know. I'm like a scientist. I want to see what happens, you know. And then for them, they're like, please, for love of God, lose. Like, please lose. Please lose. Like, and you know that's true, right?
Yeah, my fucking child brain thinks to the movie The Incredibles, the Pixar movie, where at the end, Dash, the kid who runs at fucking light speed, is competing in like a track and field race, and the parents are shouting from the rafters, like, don't go too fast. Shoot for second. Yeah. Second place is fine. And he finishes in second. But, like, yeah, my fucking toddler ass brain. That's my comparison. That's my input to this conversation.
And, like, look, man, like, I mean, like, despite, like, you know, people think or whatever, like, again, like, I do mean it. Like, I said, you know, this is a point that Tim Dillon made. Like, I don't believe that I think non-binary is bullshit because there's no non-binary Republicans. But, like, there are very varied opinionated trans people. So I'm like, this is obviously a real thing. Like, being a fucking trans Republican, like Caitlyn Jenner, like, even though she's a fucking billionaire, but you get what I mean. Like, I mean, that would be a rough existence, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and honestly, people who go through all this fucking treatment and maybe even, like, cutting their dick off or tits or whatever, I mean, clearly it's real. Like, you know, and, like, and at the same time, it's like I view it similarly to, like, body modification in general, like the lizard guy or whatever. Like, remember him that got, like, all the tattoos? And, like, it's kind of this, like, you know,
I saw a dude who got his nose removed.
Yeah, I've seen him too. Yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, like, that's the tough part, is it's like, you know, but before even the trans issue was so in the forefront, like, I was always like, not for me, but you do you, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if this makes you happy, then great, you know. Like,
yeah.
I'm very libertarian on this issue, so.
And that's the true way to be on these issues.
And it was sort of, it was gay people's messaging for the longest time of, like, look, you know, it's okay if you don't like us, but just don't bother us about what we do in our bedroom, as we would not want to bother you, like, to the Christian right or whatever. And so, you know, like, you
missionary having sex with your wife.
Yeah, it, like, the very, like, sterile vanilla
not
sex.
Even looking at her.
Yeah, like, and yeah. Or like having a sheet over her face or whatever.
Disgusting. But yeah. you do you.
And so, the trans thing, like, did, in, like, you know, if you go back, you know, we've done so many episodes, like, you'll hear me, like, be critical about it. And it was like when they started to make their issue ours, like, where it's like, if you don't sleep with us, you're transphobic. And I'm like, your issue of gender identity has, like, nothing to do with ours.
Yeah, that's so far,
like,
removed.
Like, how you fuck is our issue. Like,
yeah,
how you fuck is not yours. It, like meaning trans people. It's like their issue is gender, and it's like, I know which gender I want. I know which gender I am, and that's why I want the same gender. So it's like, this is not a discussion that's comparable, you know. But they got really aggressive, and I think they kind of set us back in many ways in terms of, like, just because I think that, like, gay people, like LGBTQI, Z, Z, whatever the fuck, Delta variant people, they really fucked up the messaging of, like, just, you know, people go like, oh, you know, it's mental illness to be gay. And I go like, yeah, you know, kind of, you know, it's sort of like out of the realm of, like, what's biologically normal, and it doesn't really serve much of a purpose in terms of, like, humans' original purpose is to procreate. And so it doesn't make sense, but I can't really do anything about it. So can you just sort of, are you like, can you be fine with that to, like, these religious people? Like, generally, even people that hated me for this reason are like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, and so I do resent. I resent trans people just for, like, fucking up the messaging that was, like, really clear, you know, originally. So that's
I think we've talked that one to death.
And so, like,
so
I mean,
we
I,
don't need to.
This is kind of like my moratorium on it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm being honest. Like, I mean, I really will not bring it up anymore. Like, unless someone does some dumb shit. And, like, that also doesn't mean that I'm going to exclude, like, bisexual or non-binary people from this discussion, because that shit will piss me off to the end of time. Because, like, in terms of, like, you know, bisexual people who have been in heterosexual relationships their whole life, and they go, like, my struggle is the same as yours. It's like, fuck out of here. No, it isn't.
Right.
So
presentation is entirely, like, I'm positive that femme gay boys in Brazil have a much harder life than mask gay men in Brazil. You know, like, that is without a doubt, like, a fact.
And,
you know?
And I'm also, like, acutely aware of that, like, for myself. Like, people generally don't know that I am gay until I say it out loud, you know?
Yeah, so presentation of your identity is oftentimes a huge factor in your struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody who is bisexual only has been in heterosexual relationships, like, they have not had the same experience.
It's
so
like stolen valor.
It kind of, yeah. It seems a little unfair or unwarranted when they try to relate to you on a level they just can't.
Mm-mm.
So that's, yeah. But that's the moratorium, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
On trans stuff, unless something really fucking wild happens. Like, yeah. You know, since we're like Jenner 2021, 22, when I want her to be governor of California so bad.
Oh, Jenner. I thought you said gender. I was like, yeah, gender.
Gender Jenner. Yeah, no, I want Caitlyn Jenner as governor so fucking
Caitlyn
bad.
Jenner.
And, you know, we discussed it with, like, we should make it very clear, by the way. So we've endorsed certain candidates on this podcast before. We might have even entered.
I think we mentioned
before.
It. Did we mention it on the last podcast?
Mm-mm.
We didn't?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah. Any person except for Tulsi Gabbard that we may or may not have endorsed.
Or interviewed.
We rescind all. We are retconning those episodes. Mm-hmm. they are non-canon episodes.
They're non-canon, exactly. Yeah.
There are a select few episodes that are non-canon. Some of them that are probably like two-thirds. There's maybe an episode that's two-thirds canon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
of another person that we've had on the show, may or may not have had on the show, that we quite like.
Some episodes
that didn't
are
turn
no
out to be
longer
a fucking giant douchebag.
No longer exist in the Fruit Basket timeline. They are not part of the Fruit Basket timeline canon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's done.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to elaborate on that?
I mean, it's funny because like I'm like this person, like, we may or may not have interviewed, I'm not as petty as this fucking douche. So it's like I'm trying to sort
of... And yet
of,
here we are,
well,
like, speaking indirectly.
Yeah, well, like, at the same time, it's like, if this person that allegedly may exist or not, which we may have interviewed him around the time of the 4th of July...
Or her. Have we ever had a woman?
We don't really know this.
We had Shannon on, and we love Shannon.
Yeah. Yeah,
but Shannon's not a political candidate.
She's like our Marianne Williamson.
Yeah. I love Marianne.
But... Yeah, no, this person that we may, like, we don't really know this person's gender identity, so I hate to misgender this person.
Yeah.
They may or may not have turned out to be a giant petty dick. After meeting them in person,
so
allegedly.
So disappointing.
It was so disappointing.
So disappointing. It's like utter betrayal. We did so much.
I know.
We were great supporters.
And by the way, which is may or may not be connected to this, the block and unblock function to unfollow people.
Yeah.
Pussy shit. Like
total
utter fucking
shit.
Beta male bullshit.
I love when you take a puff of your
and my voice
smoke
sounds
thing
different.
And your voice sounds like you're like behind glass.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite.
I
that's absolutely
he says sincerely that he actually does actually care about that.
I have so many friends who vape and then they take this massive rip and they're like, rrr, 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 rrr. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, repeat that please.
Yeah, I actually think it's been great because like we've had like a lot of we've been doing a lot of entertaining, which is partly why we haven't been able to do the podcast.
I gotta be honest, I'm a little exhausted
on a normal schedule. Yeah,
we did it for like 5 days in a row,
but like all of these events have now like involved cigars, and so you've seen like how aggressively I'll smoke a cigar and
yeah,
like
you
just
suck that thing down.
It's just like nicotine is just like, let's get it fucking
it's
rolling.
It's a 3-hour cigar, you're done in 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, fortunately my brother he brought like those fucking really nice ones, like those were like really good, like in comparison mm-hmm. to what we like we had the day after, or I had the day after, like just he kept them like perfectly humidified. They were like, they were
yeah.
so good.
And
so,
he had what, pre-Castro cigars?
Yeah.
From Cuba, yeah. Allegedly. Is it illegal to have those?
Oh, big time.
So illegal to have those.
Yeah.
So
he allegedly had them. But it's like, I think the Gio will appreciate that. Like I'm kind of maybe starting to, I might want to start getting into that hobby. It was so good. I mean, I so enjoyed the shit out of it. Like in terms of like just being a conversation accelerant, it was just fantastic. So.
Have you ever seen it? I'm sure I've talked about this on our podcast, but have you ever seen those videos of those like leather daddies who like wear like a leather vest and a leather cap
and like
they smoke cigars and
cigars.
Blow it into the camera?
Yeah, and like smoking cigars is like part of the fetish somehow, which I don't really get that at all.
It's daddy.
Is it like just sort of like, it's like a, is it like kind of peeing on somebody sort of thing? It's like a domination thing of some sort?
I don't know exactly,
yeah.
But like classical depictions of like
like Tom of Finland sort of daddies.
Exactly. I was trying to find the name for it, but Tom of Finland, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish somebody, I think somebody did this for the Cumtown Boys, but I wish somebody would draw us in the style of Tom of Finland.
Fucking A. If any of you are artists and you're willing to like draw stuff, I will actually pay you to make us look like a Tom of Finland thing. You can make me the subby one. I don't really care. It would just
give me
so
a giant Tom of Finland penis.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, and that's typically also what makes Tom of Finland stuff so great is like everyone's just a giant cock. but yeah. So that's that. But we're still on the topic of Olympics. I know we kind of like had a sidetrack there.
We are.
Well, Simone Biles. We should talk about that, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
so what's your like immediate take on that one?
Honestly, I didn't really keep up with it that much. I know she said she wasn't going to compete because of her medication.
Well, she didn't say
that.
She didn't say that. Like that's sort of like I think the nuanced take of like what really happened, but she like just
what did she say then?
Mental health reasons.
Mental health, okay.
Yeah, and like look, I mean like I think a component of that is true. I mean, like she is one of the fucking thousands of young girls that got finger blasted by Larry Nassar. So I mean, like she's definitely like has
She actually?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know she was.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like she testified against him. So like she, like you know that guy was like such a prolific fucking
monster
pedophile that it's you know obviously like you know basically anyone in like U.S. gymnastics orbit that is like under the age of 30 like definitely got or actually rather over the age of 20 because I don't really know when he got arrested. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I mean like this guy like. Just was horrific, but yeah, like I think our theory that we both agree on is that so she has been taking like Ritalin or Adderall, like some sort of like you know mm-hmm. Stimulant for ADHD for a long like most of her life.
Yeah,
and you know like those drugs are like stigmatized, but like they kind of are the only frontline treatment for ADHD, right? Mm-hmm. And but they're hyper illegal in Japan, like you cannot take it, and so what people don't really understand about ADHD is that like it you know like. Everyone kind of goes like, I'm so ADD. But it's like, it manifests into like depression and like really horrible shit because you can't complete any kind of tasks. Like your mind is so jilted and strange and all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so, and like, you know, unfortunately, like the drug that you have to take for it is like something that is like seen as basically someone smoking meth out of a meth pipe. Like, and it's not the fucking same thing. But like, because it's so hyper illegal in Japan, I can kind of imagine that her going there and being told she can't take it, she's like, I can't fucking do this. I'm like so depressed. Like, and like also like eliminating a huge part of your life that makes you sort of feel normal, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And then competing in a sport where you could like theoretically break your neck.
Yes.
It's like,
it totally makes sense that she would want to stay away.
So many of the takes were so brain dead on her.
Absolutely. Like, didn't she compete anyways?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No, she didn't at all.
Well,
But like, you know, most of the conservative takes were like, she's a fucking failure to the United States. And like, this is like, you know, Charlie Kirk, that fucking giant closeted homosexual was like making it about like, you know, you hand it over to Russia. So like now people like Charlie Kirk actually do care about Russia because it, the hypocrisy is like so mm-hmm. over the top, you know, it's so fucking funny to me. I mean, it's just incredibly funny. So,
God, she was born in 97.
Yeah, she's my age. She's your age, yeah.
Fucking kill me.
Which also, as like a 24-year-old gymnast, like she's like an elder gymnast. I mean, like, so, but also was like literally was the goat of gymnasts, mm-hmm. like for females anyway. And so
she actually got a bronze in 2020 Tokyo on the balance beam. So she did compete, I guess.
I guess for a moment then. I think she bailed out like in the middle of it then, I guess. Whoever said, I think it was Dalry said that like the Olympics are fucking retarded. I agree.
Look at all of her fucking golds. She has four Olympic golds, a silver, and two
was that
bronzes.
In Rio?
Oh, she also got a silver at Tokyo as well.
Okay.
But most of her accolades, all of her golds are Rio.
And like, look, insane, I mean, if people can kind of get like beyond the stigma of like the medication you have to take for ADHD and you kind of like understand how pervasive this illness is, like you would understand why
her
like,
team got a silver is what I mean to say. Sorry.
Yeah. But like, if you were to suddenly have to stop taking this thing and then do this sport, like you would not compete the way that you did before. Like you'd have mm-hmm. so much like ADHD. I mean, like it's talking too much. It's like your brain being scattered, like focus is impossible. And so I have a lot of empathy for her. What I think is going to be the benefit for her in the long run is like, you know, I do think we fetishize talking about mental illness. We talk about it too much. And it makes like, you know, people on Tumblr or not Tumblr anymore, but like on TikTok, like self-diagnose themselves as fucking demisexual, like that matters, or like, you know, ADD, you know, I have tics, you know, it's just all like, mm-hmm. this is kind of like the inevitable conclusion of like this sort of talking about it a lot. But at the same time, I think all that shit doesn't matter. I think it is important that like it's something we can talk about in public. And being 31, you know, I remember like even 10 years ago, it was kind of like the, like, you know, the Rosemary Kennedy thing where you lobotomize this kid, fuck them up because they're crazy, and then you put them in an institution and the family does not talk about this kid. Like, mm-hmm. the mental ill kid is like a shame part of your family and you just put it to the side. And I think now it's fortunate that we are like living in a time, and it happened really rapidly, through which, you know, mental illness is something that can be talked about openly. However,
yeah.
I did not like kind of how the Olympics started to become the voice, where it's like everyone has to have like trauma in order to like be interesting as an athlete, you know?
Yeah, your story will get you the gold.
Like, I was gay, my parents didn't accept me, and I have ADD, ADHD, and tics, and I have TMJ.
I have tics. Yeah. I've got Lyme disease.
I got
there
Lyme
tics
disease.
All over
and
my body.
And I have TMJ, and I have a bad hip, and it's like. It really is a sort of like how everything has to be entertainment to people who,
yeah,
like, you know, so the Olympics are just like, you know, basically like all these like elite, very elite athletes are not smart people, like just kind of like dumb,
they
hot,
don't have to be,
they don't have to be,
which
like
is fantastic,
dumb,
good
hot
for them.
Genetic freaks who are like talking to about their trauma to like fat Americans on their couch, like,
yeah,
that's so sad,
like. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
like,
so sad.
Yeah, and it's just like, but now I'm more invested because I have an emotional investment.
Mm-hmm.
COVID's really important.
How dare she take that drug, Adderall?
Yeah, it's so bad for her health.
Just shoving food. Oh my God! If you don't have a good sob story, you're not going to win. Now, exactly. That's it's same thing with every like reality competitive show.
Can you read Tom's comment?
Charlie Kirk's piece on here on her was horrible. I did read she competed in the balance beam. Yep, and she got the bronze. She talked about having experiences with what she called the twisties as she was doing her routines.
Yeah, I kind of understand what the twisties is, but it's sort of like it sounds like gymnast vertigo. I think it's like maybe the best way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't care. I don't care about the Olympics. I don't care. I mean, like this story was sort of like a human interest story, so I did end up caring. And like,
yeah.
And again, like. Conservatives kind of like progressives can't get out of their own way to like accomplish anything, like,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like they like for every, you know, for every like Nina Turner, there's like an AOC who is like this massive retarded foil, and for every like, I don't have a better example, like let's say Josh Hawley, like a populist right person, there's a fucking Charlie Kirk. So it's you just can't win. So
yeah.
Dowry says, when the world found out Tom Daley was gay, even though it was never hidden and the media went crazy about it, meanwhile Gus Kentworthy was out for years. Yeah, like, well, Tom Daley was like a tough one because like I think it's different for someone like Gus or for Tom Daley, because like when you're a diver or a gymnast, it's like the expectation, like they're all gay and smashing each other's bits, and it's all like, so it's like when I've actually noticed like in this new era of time, the more people that expect you to be gay, the harder it is to come out, you know? And then mm-hmm. now when you're sort of like in a unusual position like Gus Kentworthy, where he's like a snowboarder and kind of a bro dude with tattoos, like it's more of like a shocking story. But I mean, I remember watching Tom Daley compete in like 2008 or whatever, and he was like 15, and I'm like, that's mm-hmm. a gay boy, like he's gonna,
yeah, I remember,
yeah,
too.
He's gonna, you know, he's gonna come out. And so like, you know, it was pretty obvious. And so I think that like the more, again, like how we have to like sensationalize every story, like if the person doesn't seem that gay, then it's like a more interesting story. So mm-hmm. But Tom Daley, I think that he got a lot more attention because he immediately married Dustin Lance Black, who wrote Milk. He's a screenwriter for Milk, and like, so he was kind of like connected to the Hollywood elite, and I'm sure like Dustin's fucking PR people pumped up that story to make it a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it became like a very Hollywood sort of ordeal where it's like coming out is brave somehow, but
yeah,
I don't know. So I think that's kind of what it was. There's like weird nuance to this, and both of them, I mean, actually I found like Tom Daley to be less annoying than Gus Kentworthy. Like he's like someone who's like doing all the glad campaigns of like, I'm
absolutely yeah. Tom Daley is less annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Gus like has of course resurfaced with the Summer Olympics. And like, is attending the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, but not competing, obviously. He's been making, like, TikToks with Adam Rippon, and I'm like, do you guys have to do this? Adam Rippon's annoying as fuck, though.
Yeah, and...
So, like...
I went on a date with him. I told you about that.
Yeah, which is wild. Mm. Very interesting.
And he wasn't like that before, though. I mean, it's yeah. I do think that these people do find capital in like their sexuality.
If he ended up being the co-host of this podcast, imagine what kind of person he'd be now.
Hmm. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Like, if he was the Fruit Basket podcast.
What's tough is like I bet you in a private life both these people are not like this, you know. But like they're now stuck in this trap. Like you know, like with people we've talked about where like I have personal connections to it, like Troy Sivan, like whatever. Like they cannot criticize their world now because like they're kind of stuck in this trap of like, you know, like I'm the gay person now, mm-hmm. and like it's like something I never wanted. I'm like, I don't want to be the gay musician. Like, you know, you don't want to be the gay designer. You know, like
God,
it's
no.
just sort of like, it sucks because like then you're pigeonholing this thing that like is in vogue now. But who knows like how long this like personality will be interesting? And like, look, I mean, the way this shit's like so rapidly moving, where like, you know, Zoomers in particular are trying to like just sort of gobble up every kind of label to make like it's like the suppression Olympics thing, which is kind of a gauche term at this point, but it's true. It's like you will never be able to keep up with it because it's like, okay, we can be gay men who like struggle with some shit, but we're white, so that doesn't matter as much now. Like our struggle is like less than, even though like nobody really cares about your personal trauma or anything. It's like whatever is visible is like what is kind of more traumatic to very smooth-brained activist idiots.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of that. But speaking of like mental health, should we talk about Demi Lovato and her show?
Dude. Just when you thought we could get her, couldn't get any more fucking awful, annoying, she proves us wrong.
Dude, so how did we stumble upon her show? Like, what? How did that happen?
Okay, we have a Roku TV. Great TV, by the way.
Roku's inexpensive. Roku's a great UI, like for like smart TVs. Yeah,
inexpensive smart TV, totally worth it in our experience. Roku has their own channel where you can watch Roku channel shows. Demi Lovato has her own show on the Roku channel that is free to watch with a Roku TV.
Because each episode's only 6 minutes long. About,
6 minutes, maximum seven.
And she, because she cannot... She's a really stupid person. Like she's like,
stupid
like,
and narcissistic.
It's funny, like the clip we're going to play is not the one I'm going to... like. We might play it if like it's interesting enough, but like we watched I think two of them.
Yeah, the one we got show you, two episodes out of I think like six.
So like the one we're gonna show you is like so fucking funny, and like if you follow me on Twitter, you like literally heard me screaming laughing at this thing. But the other one was with like this trans person she was interviewing that I guess is like a friend of hers as well. And
Nikita Dragon.
And she was making fantastic points like that are like very based and like very much stuff that we would say about trans people on this. And Demi Lovato was not listening. And so, like, whatever interesting point Nikita Dragon was making, it would get sidetracked by, like, I'm gonna cry.
Oh, my God, I'm going to cry.
Oh, my God. And then, like, and then she has to kind of go, oh, thank you for that. Yeah. You know, like, but, like, any interesting point.
Oh, no,
point, like,
don't cry.
Because Demi Lovato doesn't have the intellect to, like, be like, wow, that's, like, an interesting point. Like, elaborate on that, you know? She just cannot do it. Like, but she's trying to be Oprah. So, like, the credit I'll give her before we watch this.
Demi? You're going to give her credit?
Her set is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's not gorgeous. My style, but it, like, looks fantastic.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, shall we dive into it?
Yeah, you guys, strap in. And no, Demi is not trans yet.
Not yet. She probably will be here shortly.
This one made us howl.
How did you get the news?
It was the worst day of both of our lives.
It was absolutely the worst day of my life.
When she overdosed.
All I see is Demi Lovato overdose, and I thought you died. Always there for you, even when you're at your lowest.
Oh my God.
Today, I can't wait for you to meet two of my best friends, my literal angels, Matthew Scott Montgomery and Syrah. For those of you who don't know, we have been best friends for how long?
By the way, this is her official website, and the audio is fucked up.
Like it sounds like shit.
It sounds like shit, and like, but it's her real.
The Demi Lovato show. You're not subscribed?
Wow.
I don't know. I should be.
How did we meet?
We met because we were on the same Disney Channel show.
And then we met. I had been doing sober companioning and life coaching, so I would get called in with celebrities and other people, and I get a call.
Just wait.
Like, we have this girl. She's a very big deal. I'm like, okay, I think I'll be okay. I've never had television. Like, I don't know who anyone is unless they're Wu-Tang, so whatever. So I pull up, and you look me up and down, and then you go, I like your disco pants, and you walk away, and I was like, go off with the eye roll, bitch. You're my friend.
Oh my gosh. you've seen me at my worst, and
oh my God,
still been there.
It really does sound awful.
Was there a specific moment when you started to worry?
Always?
Literally every day of my life. I mean,
both of you're a train wreck. Incredibly difficult journeys.
Yeah.
And I feel very protective over the both of you. You know, and so like, and especially with you, Demi. No offense, but like even more with because
of what happened.
What I love feel like I don't remember some of this stuff.
No, I think some of it wasn't in here, but we're gonna.
Oh, they included other stuff in this interview.
We're gonna get to my favorite part about this.
Oh yes. My god.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yes.
When I overdosed, when and how did you get the news?
Here we go.
It was the worst day of both of our lives.
It was absolutely the worst day of my life.
So listen to what she says.
I had gotten a call the night before, and you were like, can you come hang out? And I was like, I can't. I have to go to New York because my grandmother and my sister were dying in the...
My grandmother and my sister
were dying in the hospital. And
hearing that you overdosed?
Hearing that Demi Lovato overdosed, somebody who clearly does not care about you very much, was the worst day of her life.
Speechless.
It might as well be a yarmulke.
It looks like he's just wearing a backwards hat, like really far back on his head, but you can't see the rim. So yeah, it looks like a big pink yarmulke.
I want you guys to hear this again.
I was like, I can't. I have to go to New York because my grandmother and my sister were dying in the hospital.
So listen to how Demi Lovato reacts to her giving that way more important to her life news.
All at the same time, going through stuff. So I fly to New York, and everyone turns on their phones, and all I see is Demi Lovato overdose, and I thought you died. And I fainted on the plane, and people had to, like, carry me out. And I definitely think that was probably the most terrifying moment of my entire life. It was really...
That was the worst case. That was a nightmare.
It was so, yeah.
I started getting texts. I was driving to an audition, and I got a text saying, I'm sorry for the line. I said, sorry for what?
Dude,
and
it's just like, what the fuck?
And the first thing he said when I picked up the phone was, she's okay. And then I checked TMZ, of course.
Oh.
Dude, it's like, what the fuck? And like, again, we need to play it through like her pretend crying she's doing right now. Like, this is all fucking so fake. Like, she is such a fucking BPD narcissist. Like, there is no way she cares about anyone's problem. Because
no.
Like, when you listen to her, she's like, how did you find out about me going through something? Like, with me, you know?
I'm so proud of you. I'm so sorry. Oh no, I love you so much.
It was the worst day.
But the set.
Look at that. There's water and like bubble lights.
It's so good.
When you were in the hospital, I know you were really honestly gone for a while. But when did you realize the severity of what had happened to you?
I woke up.
My mother and my sister were dying, so I couldn't come see you. Demi Lovato did not care at all.
No, so much so that the people she's interviewing have to ask her a question.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know where I was. And so that was terrifying because I knew what I had been doing the night before that morning. And then I was hooked up to all the stuff.
Stupid
My mom kid. Was there and I asked her, I said, what happened? And she said, honey, you overdosed.
Oh my God.
I felt defeated. Like I was like, not me. I thought that I had it
me,
under control.
Me, I, God. Me,
this could never happen to me.
And I couldn't see her face. And I asked, who's there? And that's when she said, it's me, it's Madison.
Riveting.
The nurse pulled me aside in the ICU and was like, you know your friend should be dead, right?
It felt really good to have you by my side. And I know, Syra, you would have been there if you could, but... that was the worst timing on my part.
Yeah, Demi, great time to go do that. It's really stacking it on me.
Look at this. Look at this transition.
Well, that we got it pretty good right here. Like,
oh my God. This transition in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the interview.
Do you have advice for anyone who has a loved one going through issues with substance abuse?
For anyone that's going through that, I think the best thing that you can do is reach out and get help for your family members and seek out professional help. But I would also really encourage people to make sure that you're choosing a really good team or place.
Okay. the best advice you can give is somebody's like going through substance abuse is like to not help, because you can't. Because when she says like pick a good team, well, this shit's way more expensive. For the
best
average.
Advice is be rich.
That's exactly it. Be fucking filthy rich, and then they'll go through the Demi Lovato treatment where she can like make it into a PR campaign where she can sell a book, and have a fucking show like this with a set that cost a ton of money, and you know, and decide she's fucking, I don't know, non-binary, where the fuck she is now, like.
Oh my god, I forgot she's non-binary.
Oh yeah, and she'll be trans here shortly. Someone said that earlier.
We're,
I think it was
so
Del Reese,
transphobic.
Yeah, Del Reese, yeah. But like, I think it actually. So you get it. But like, let's do the next one, because I think it's pretty fucking.
Is this Nikita?
Mm-hmm.
Because I never felt like it was truly me. I was okay with being the secret. I thought as a trans woman, I would never have a relationship.
I'm like gonna start crying.
No, stop.
YouTuber.
That already tells you so much about this interview.
Thank you for coming on here.
Thank you for having me. This is crazy in your little magical world, but I wouldn't expect anything else.
Tell us about yourself.
I don't even know where to begin. You know, I was just a little humble boy from Virginia with big girl dreams. For obviously anyone who doesn't know, I transitioned a couple years ago.
She looks
ago
way better trans. I was saying that to you. That
she's so hot.
Yeah.
My gender identity and kind of deal with this crazy world.
Well, I came across your...
So listen, like...
kind of deal with this crazy world.
Well,
I came across
your page last year. Why did you start in makeup?
And I just never saw myself reflected. I think that was the biggest thing in the beauty ads or the campaigns or anything. On YouTube, I would show how I was covering my beard or my 5 o'clock shadow or how I was kind of making my face appear more feminine. And so I think makeup was the thing that I could use. Like, it was always like my weapon, and I've always had such a wild imagination. That's how I got into social media, was because I would share my makeup looks and I would, you know, show myself transforming from basically a boy into a woman.
I just love that you've used makeup to literally highlight your expressiveness.
Which is exactly what she just said to you, stupid. She explained it way better than you.
I just love that you use makeup
to show that
your expressiveness.
What's expressiveness?
Expressiveness. Not expression.
Creativity. And I think that's beautiful.
The makeup is more than just the artistry for me. It's all about, like, wow, I've always been able to see the woman that I've always wanted to be.
Hmm.
I love that you saw a gap and you said, I need representation, so I'm not going to wait around to get it. I'm going to create it. And that brings me to another question. You get a lot of hate for not subscribing to society's gender norms. How do you respond?
Obviously, going through my trans journey, I really wanted to grab...
I love how she says trans journey.
Trans journey.
Gender norms. How do you respond?
Obviously, going through my trans journey, I really wanted to gravitate towards how can I be the most woman, feminine thing ever, so that when any guy or any person...
So she makes a good point here.
Woman, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So I was gravitating towards this like hyper feminized, almost like character in my mind of like tits out, ass, be weaker than a man, and I need to fit to this stereotype because I wouldn't even want any traits that were masculine. But I think it's such a tough thing because I think it was so taught to us a certain way that when you kind of go out there in the real world, the textbook definition is not really what, especially in this new age, is even relevant anymore. And I think after, you know, the couple of years I've been as Nikita, I've realized that in a weird way that is so limiting and totally against everything.
This
is
so insightful.
So self-aware, though. I mean, like, yeah. And like, honestly, like, she would be like a great, like, advocate for like talking about this kind of stuff to people who were like unconvinced, right? Like,
yeah.
And I know, like, you know, most people who are listening to this are like pretty exhausted by this kind of discourse. But like, I, as somebody who's like trying to be kind of neutral on these issues, like, I'm like, yeah, she's like making like a good point that kind of like, you know, pleads to like my sensibilities and also like anybody who would be like sort of against her. She makes it pretty clear.
To be a woman
mm-hmm.
in a crazy way.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the ways that your dating life has changed since you've transitioned?
I mean, she just, there's just like no follow up, nothing. And it's just like this constant mm-hmm. thing. Like whenever, and she, like throughout this interview, like she makes so many good points and they're just totally fucking squashed by this narcissist, Demi Lovato. So
mm-hmm.
awful person. And she'll never leave our lives. Like, she will be a regular segment on this show. There's just no fucking way.
I love Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato.
She really is just like the source of so much entertainment. We might have to watch the rest of the episodes of this.
Yes,
there are only like four more.
Oh yeah, and they're short. Like, and so I think they seem to be on YouTube. So I highly recommend you all do too, because it's like, yeah, it's just watching this like utter manufactured consent of somebody we're supposed to care about.
Yeah,
and all media outlets are telling us to care because like she's non-binary, which doesn't matter, and she's like literally they are promoting like a crazy person, also like accelerating her sort of mental illness into her trying to kill herself again. So I'm waiting for that one too.
What was her drug of choice?
I think it was cocaine. Someone said it was some upper. It wasn't like a downer of any kind.
Do you OD on cocaine?
You can. Well, I don't know. It might have been a downer. It might be benzos or whatever. I mean, it's possible. Yeah. But you can OD on cocaine. It's usually not pleasant. So it's not easy to do, though. I mean, you have to like do a lot. It's
yeah.
Like that. Or already have like a heart condition or like some other shit. So I don't know. But yeah, she fucking rules. But like, speaking of, you know, trans and gay issues, you want to talk about DaBaby?
Oh my God, DaBaby.
And we can loop this into the Matt Damon thing, so.
What did DaBaby say? Rapper slammed for homophobic comments. Well, basically, okay, here's his quote. It was performing at, where was he performing? Rolling Loud. He was on stage at Rolling Loud in Miami. And his name is Jonathan Lindale Kirk. DaBaby's real name is fucking Jonathan Lindale Kirk.
Andy Warhol wig.
He was on stage just, yeah, shaking that shake and go wig. So video footage at the show shows 29-year-old rapper saying, "If you didn't show up today with HIV, AIDS, any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases that'll make you die in 2 or 3 weeks, put your cell phone light in the air. Ladies, if your pussy smell like water, put your cell phone light in the air. Fellas, if you ain't suck a dick in the parking lot, put your cell phone lights in the air. Keep it fucking real." Among those criticizing DaBaby are Trinity K. Bonet, a drag queen. "Hey DaBaby, undetectable means untransmittable." They spelt it wrong in their tweet. "U equals U. That will educate you."
We like a sick, like, you know, the SIC.
Yeah, SIC. "U equals U. So untransmittable, undetectable means untransmittable. That will educate you on at hyphen least."
That is not necessarily true, by the way. Like,
"One of them dumb ass comments you make." While Twitch streamer Hassan Piker, of course Hassan is chiming in. "DaBaby's throwing out 90s era homophobia, Da Boomer." Kind of a boring joke, Hassan.
I want to get into like his response to it, because like it's like this response was like such like freeform jazz of like, I don't, we'll get to it.
Yes. Yeah. DaBaby told his critics, "Shut the fuck up. What I do at a live show is for the audience at the live show. It'll never translate correctly to somebody looking at a little 5-6 second clip from their goddamn crib on their phone. It just don't work like that. Because regardless of what you motherfuckers are talking about and how the internet twisted up my motherfucking words, me and all my fans at the show, the gay ones and the straight ones, we turned the fuck up."
So that's cute, yeah.
The rapper said that there were gay fans present who enjoyed the show, adding, "I'm talking about my boy that was at the front of stage left where I jumped, ask him. He got clips all on his shit the whole night he was recording. We were turnt the whole night. My boy had the crop top on, front row. He out there in that jungle, in that water. He out there, he's standing on the rail, goddamn cutting up. He knows the words to the song. I'm rapping them bitches with him." He then went on to repeat the comments he made at a show. "I wasn't going on no rant. That's called a call to action. That's what that's called, because I'm a live performer. I'm the best live performer. I'm the live show killer. You interact with your fans. You get what I'm saying."
This next part is my fucking favorite.
This is the best. "All the lights went up, gay or straight. You want to know why? Because even my gay fans don't got fucking AIDS. They don't got AIDS. My gay fans, they take care of theyselves. They ain't going for that. They ain't no nasty gay beep. They ain't no junkies on the street. I said, if you ain't sucking dick in the parking lot, put your cell phone light up. You know what my gay fans did? Put that motherfucker light, motherfucking light up. My gay fans, they ain't going for that. They got class. They ain't sucking no dick in no parking lot. You gotta get a room, a good one. 5-star hotel. Even my gay fans got standards.
He fucking rules. Like, I mean, like, literally, I mean, like, this is like, I love this moment in time. This is like my favorite, like, funniest shit ever, because, like, because it literally is like, because people giving takes on, like,
calling anybody still on Twitch, please clip that entire monologue,
dude. Like, hit, like, okay, so anything that this is like the most sort of like, he is like, DaBaby is fucking Cormac McCarthy of talking about homophobic shit. I mean, I have like never like read a sentence where I'm like, how does anyone criticize this? It's like it is homophobic, but it's also like also him saying that if you like me, you're not a trashy ass hoe even if you're gay, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, good, you know, like I don't know, like, because like, and like, what I like, why I kind of like got off on it, like where I was kind of feeling like
I'm gonna come
it's because like he was like going to this, like, it's so fucking weird. It like, it was this thing of like where like so much of like kind of, you know, look, I mean, like, I, you know, I'm all for like, you know, any kind of sexual deviancy you want to do or whatever, but I think that like a lot of it's like so publicly celebrated by our community that like him kind of like, and like, you know, the unspoken thing, and it's why like Lil Nas X is like an interesting figure to me, is like homophobia in the rap community is fucking bad. It's like,
yeah.
And it like, and liberals and progressives can't address it because they have to like protect this class. They belittle like their ability to comprehend, like, mm-hmm. you know, this is like maybe not an okay thing to do. But DaBaby comes out and gives this fucking, you know, fucking Shakespearean monologue about how like, yeah, like I got fucking gay fans, bitch, and they're all fucking, they don't have AIDS, they're not sucking dicks in parking lots, they fucking rule. I fucking love my gay fans, fuck yeah. I'm like,
oh my god,
I'm like, this is the funniest shit I've literally,
they suck dick in 5-star hotels, bitch.
Yeah, like my fans are fucking popping Cristal on those bussies all over the fucking place. Like, they're fucking pouring Hennessy in all holes and fucking diamonds, oh my god, everywhere. Fuck you, bitch. My gay fans are the fucking best. And I'm like, this is the funniest shit. I mean, like, literally, this is the funniest shit I've ever read.
I love just him. Me too.
I fucking just complete love him.
Non sequitur, out of nowhere. Raise your hand if you don't have AIDS.
And what's great about it is I think he's actually really smart, because he's like, oh, fuck you, I'm homophobic. Like, you know, like,
you think he's smart?
I do, in a weird way. Like, I think he's like, in a weird way, I think he is smart. Like, I think he kind of goes like, okay, they're gonna like fucking throw some heat at me, I ain't gonna apologize.
He hasn't apologized.
So like, yeah. So fuck you, my gay fans are better than yours.
Yeah.
It's like, and how does anybody criticize him for that? It's like it is kind of genius when you think about it. Like, whatever the fuck I said isn't a performance, and my gay fans rule.
Yeah.
Like,
my man's with the crop top in the front left, he was singing every lyric. He's right.
I'm a big DaBaby fan now, baby. I'm all fucking in, dude. This guy rules.
Yeah, and he's very handsome, too.
He's got
a great smile.
Great smile. Meanwhile, you know, Matt Damon's his faggot, and then, like,
his daughter has to tell him to stop.
Yeah, and it's like, and then because, like, he makes it into this, like, sort of conciliatory moment where he's like, I'm so sorry about that, then he gets a news article about something that doesn't even really matter. But, mm-hmm. like, if he just went full DaBaby and just goes, like, yeah, if you watch Good Will Hunting and you like it and you're gay, you're a better gay than other people, motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, cool, Matt Damon, but he's a pussy, so he would never do that.
Right.
But DaBaby, not a pussy.
No.
Dude, the fucking, like, dude, like, debate. This is, like, the most dudes rock rap shit I've seen in a long time.
It's so insane. I love it. I can't believe this even happened.
I know.
Out of nowhere, his brain was like, yeah, I'm gonna ask them if they have AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
While he was on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't got AIDS, do they? I'm gonna make sure.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Speaking
dude.
Of, I don't know, sexual AIDS? Deviancy. Yeah, Chris Chan. I don't really want to. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's like I was trying to think of a take on this, but I don't really have one. So
here's the news. Somebody did a phone interview with Chris Chan, where he admitted to having a sexual relationship with his mother who has dementia.
Which is rape. You know, yes. Well, incest and rape. I mean, like, really, he covered all the bases. Yeah.
Rape.
Yeah.
He has since been detained, and his mother has been moved to a care facility.
And what sucks is his mother was...
Were you silent, or were you silenced?
They really have not given her a chance to speak.
No.
So...
I don't even really know.
I just remember, like, the morning I woke up... It was a few days. It was, like, last week. The morning I woke up, the first tweet I saw was... the dude who documents, who created the Chris Chan documentary, I'm pretty sure. His name is Gino. Or he has, like, one of the most popular ones. He has documented Chris Chan's life from the inception of Sonichu. Weird. I don't know, strange obsession, right? Yeah. But it's a very popular thing
to follow.
I mean,
he is, like, a very public autist. So, I mean, like, it's kind of, like, an interesting...
Increasingly public, too. It's like he kind of...
Well, he got, like, you know...
Kind of digs his own grave.
Yeah, by just being somebody who is so utterly bullyable. I mean, it's, like, it's just incredible. So, and, like, most of his stuff is pretty harmless to the point to where, like, I almost sort of felt bad for him until this happened.
Until this, exactly. The first tweet I saw was Gino with just... It was a picture of his face, and the caption was, like, me right now because of the news. But he didn't say because of the news, and I was like, uh-oh, what happened? I checked the comments, and it was, like... I can't believe this thing about Chris Chan, and I listened to part of the interview, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
An incestuous rape of your mother.
I know. I don't really have, like, a take on it. I'm just
I don't either. It's just, that's the news, baby.
But
shit is dark.
We can use, like, sexual assault into getting into Cuomo, though, right?
Yes, we can. Yesterday it broke that, like, the...
all Italians are rapists.
All Italians are rapists. Yeah. So, do you want to take this one?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I mean, we've kind of already talked about it before, but it's like, I mean, this guy is, like, Andrew Cuomo is, like, someone who, like, the media lionized, and I have this theory
that...
Yeah,
he saved so many old people.
You know, Cuomosexual fucking sold a book over, like, how great his fucking COVID response was, even though he was responsible for, like, probably the largest mass death of elderly people of any state in the country.
Yes.
Because of his donor class that was, like, giving him money to keep running. But at the same time, it's, like, because the liberal media lionized him so much that they probably ignored these Me Too sexual assault claims for a long time,
mm-hmm.
because they were not convenient. But then they came around to something where, like, okay, well, we knew about the nursing home tragedy because the New York Post was, like, the one covering it in the beginning, and because I follow both sides of the media spectrum, I was like, this seems fucking real. Like, back in fucking, you know, July of 2020, I mean, I was just like, yeah, this shit's fucking real.
Mm-hmm.
And but the media decided to lionize him and put him on every fucking network as, like, the hero governor, that they would have to now take accountability for the fact that they ignored this story. But what you can do, kind of like using COVID as an excuse for doing any kind of weird shit, you can use Me Too as an excuse to get rid of the person that is inconveniencing you. And so, like, now these Me Too allegations, which I'm certain are real, considering that his defense of it has been so fucking laughably ridiculous, and are the thing, like, they're trying to take him down with. And, like, you know, even Biden said, like, you know, he needs to fuck off. I love it because, like, I think it's Ron Kim. He's, like, the assemblyman that, like, was the one in the, like, a Democrat assemblyman in New York who was like, this fucking guy killed 15,000 elderly people.
Yes.
Because of money. Like, you know, like, it was all about money for him. And that wasn't working for Ron Kim to actually get rid of Cuomo. And so, like, we were watching him on a new show today on Rising. And you can just tell he's so satisfied that this he's like, oh, yeah, all these sexual assaults. These women, he kept saying, these women were sexually assaulted by him, and he's just, like, silently grinning of, like, I finally got this fucking Guido asshole. This feels so good.
Yeah. And even, so, like, Joe, the White House is asking him to resign.
Gillibrand, who's, like, the, you know, the gay rights, like, she's, like, she was, like, ahead of, because, like, it really has, like, turned them into, like, hypocrites, you know, and so, I mean, I'm getting schadenfreude. Like, I'm enjoying the fuck out of seeing this guy squirm because I think he's, like, literally an embarrassment to all Italian Americans, myself included. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of these fucking New York Guidos who are, like, I just hate them. I hate them so much. Like, and fake Guido de Blasio, like, just no more Italians in politics. Like, you're all out. Like, you know?
No more Italians.
No more Italians at all. We need to set up a camp where they can concentrate better.
Yeah. They do have attention issues. Yeah.
Yes. Last thing, Nina Turner. That made me fucking sad.
Dude. Nina Turner. This morning, I mean, we found out she lost.
Yeah, for
by like not that large of a margin,
less than 5,000 votes. I mean, and like, and look, I mean, like, I, you know, I am not as like progressive as she is, but like at the same time, it's like, you know, even somebody like Trump. I mean, I appreciated like the disruption factor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Bernie has just totally cucked himself as that. You know, like we like Tulsi because, well, I supported like most of her policy decisions, but at the same time, like she was just an utter, like literally, I mean. We said it many times, but she bodied Kamala Harris so badly that she couldn't speak right for fucking
She's
6 months.
Paralyzed.
Yeah, and so, like, these people, these like these Democrat establishment ghouls, like, if they get fucking irritated by somebody like Nina Turner, like, I'm rooting for her then, you know? Because like, I think that national politics are a fucking joke. But, you know, they you know, Nina Turner was, like, it was, like, a congressional seat in Cleveland that she was running for. She's a senator. I'm not really sure what her logic was. She explained it at some point of, like, why she wanted to go from being a senator to a congressperson. I don't really remember what it was. But, like, what sucks is, like, she, like, her kind of running for the seat was, like, sort of my last bastion of being interested in national politics, where I'm like, maybe there's some kind of hope. And then what you see is all the fucking ghouls come in, including Hillary Clinton, where they nominate some other kind of similar-looking black lady who is, like, a total Democrat establishment shill. Clyburn comes out for her, Hillary, and they dump fucking, like, the fucking Jewish Defense League fucking... dumps $4 million in this campaign.
It was a pro-Israel
thing. Pro-Israel thing, because Nina Turner is like even slightly critical of Israel's government. You know, and so... and then
even though her biggest supporter is like world-famous Jewish person Bernie Sanders.
Right, which, but that doesn't matter. Like, he's not the right kind of Jew. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, kind of like we're not the right kind of gay. Like, I mean, this is what they do.
Yeah.
Because, like, we will not play along with this sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like Nina Turner because, like, I actually do want a loud normal black woman who talks like a normal black woman. Like, I you know, I don't want any more Condoleezza Rice's. I want more Nina Turner's. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Of just like, fuck you, like, fuck off, you know. But dude, I'm telling you, like, until Hillary Clinton dies, she is so ass mad at Bernie Sanders that anybody in fucking Sanders' orbit, which is Tulsi, Nina, and Bernie, she will do everything to destroy these people. And like, to see Nina lose by such a small margin, I'm like, number one, I'm like, is it real? Like, did she really lose? But at the same time, like, even if she actually did, the fact that these ghouls threw so much fucking money at it, it's like, well, it might as well have been rigged, you know?
Yeah. It, the thing that Rising was talking about, I think Breonna Joy Gray was on, was that her? Okay, yeah. She was saying, like, the push for Chantel Brown, is her name right, to win urged more affluent white suburban voters in the area to go out and vote for her, and of course that's
it's always white women's fault,
always white women. Yeah, and so that's the reason we will now have Chantel Brown.
Right, who will just be this ineffectual sort of nothing person. She'll probably be like fucking Cinema. I mean, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll just be like this.
And fuck that lady.
Fuck that lady.
She's like, awful.
Yeah, and so...
her face is so annoying.
And, like, that's kind of the thing. Like, what I hate about the Democratic Party so much is it's like they just... like, what's... and we talked about it earlier in the podcast. Like, what someone looks like is more important to what they actually believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Nina Turner, like, regardless of, like, me disagreeing with, like, quite a bit of what she believes in...
Yeah.
The thing she does believe in, I think, would have helped Cleveland. Which is a fucking shithole, by the way.
Yeah.
So, it's like... and largely black, you know? So... okay. We got fucking... we got Chantel Brown now. Great.
Yes.
And Hillary Clinton won, where she can just sit on her fucking pile of coins. And like, so we just, like, we have to just, I think that national politics will not be interesting until she fucking dies.
She needs to die.
Yeah. So, and she
must
won't.
Be killed in Minecraft.
Yeah. She will fucking be a brain in the jar that has a voice. Like, she just will not die. She will not go away. And so, and she'll keep fucking getting people like Kamala Harris and like these people in that are just like her. So, like, this is just, like, kind of never going to end. And really, you know what Breonna Joy Gray was saying? Like, the reason why she was so invested in Nina's campaign is she was the, not the press secretary for Bernie, but, like, she was, like, a big part of his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, like, you know, then she was the one out in Cleveland, like, rallying for Nina Turner and, like, working her campaign as well.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, yeah, we got to stop. Like, if you want to make any kind of change, like, regardless of, like, what you think that may be, if, like, you're, like, more on, like, the libertarian side of the spectrum, even conservative, it's like, we got to stop voting for these two parties. Like, and we can't run with them anymore. Like, you can't run as a Democrat anymore. If you're a populist Republican, don't call yourself a Republican anymore. Find a fucking, like, be the Bull Moose Party. You know what I mean? Like literally, we have to stop.
Be the Owlbear Party.
Owlbear Party, yeah.
Hoot, growl. Hoot, growl. Hoot, growl. Yeah.
So, yeah, me too, Delry. It's just fucking terrible. So, anyway, like, it, like, and again, like, it's not even about Nina Turner's policies. It's just, I think that she would have been an interesting disruption in, like, in this fucking static, like, astroturfed bullshit of an administration. So, you know, and, like, you know, and people like Cori Bush that, like, has her little, like, you know, silly party where she slept out in front of the Capitol building. It's like, yeah, but you won't fucking finger point at Pelosi and call her a dumb cunt. So, like, you're also pretty fucking useless. You know,
people already got evicted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on the 1st and the 2nd, they were evicted. And when the thing went into effect at 5:30 p.m., people had been evicted on the same day at 2:30 p.m. It's, like, too little too late.
And,
you know,
and again, like,
I get that you're adding another 60 days, but the oversight, the gross oversight on that eviction moratorium.
And again, what makes it shitty is, like, is that it's like what progressives, I think, like, don't, like, I think they're like an op. Like, they don't actually work to do anything because, like, you know, like, not like, I'm not anti-landlord. Like, I think that, like, small time landlords, like, did get fucked probably a little bit worse than renters in this, like, where they have, like, a note they have to pay every month. And then, like, they, you know, if you're, like, in Los Angeles County, like, this last 16 months would have accumulated, like, over $50,000 of rent that, like, they're not being made whole by that, even though the government's sitting on $50 billion that were set aside for landlords, and they've spent $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, they want to just accelerate this so BlackRock can buy everything up, and we will eat bugs, and we will be happy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Kamala Harris's approval rating is worse than Biden's.
Yes, and I think Breaking Points is saying that it's not been, there's not been a vice president with this low of an approval rating since 1970.
The 70s. Yeah. Incredible. I'm so excited to watch her burn.
Oh, dude. She's so bad at this.
Yeah. She's going to try and run for president in 3 years.
She should get fired, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's it. I think it's
another thing about progressives, though. They Breaking Points had Ro Khanna on, and they tried to push the question,
why aren't you doing something?
Why didn't you use your leverage to be like, I won't vote for you on anything. Like, I won't vote for any of your bills until we do some moratorium on the eviction,
which has been Jimmy Dore's point the whole time. And, like, look,
and he's like, look, there are other issues we should still try to pass, even if the moratorium does not get extended.
Yeah,
or even
he kept bringing up Bernie's I forgot what the official term is, but, like, you know, basically like an amendment to the bill. And he's like, you know, we got to, you know, if we don't focus on basically being agreeable to these fucking ghouls, then we can't pass climate legislation. I'm like, okay, bitch, like, I'm concerned with the climate too, but, like, maybe this might be more immediately
maybe
important.
5 million people getting evicted.
Yeah, that might be more important than, like, climate just today. Like, today.
Yeah.
Like, you know, worry about that shit later. Like, these sort of, like, existential problems are, like, not, they're not immediate. Like, you know, like, you know, climate obviously is immediate, but it's like, you know, because, like, you know, climate activists are so fucking irritating this way. Like, it's just like, the legislation is so nebulous that it's like, but, like, pay landlords their back rent, like, small-time landlords that, like, manage to buy a house somehow, and then don't evict renters during what you are all telling us is, like, this horrible Delta variant that doesn't fucking kill anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it might be kind of more important. So,
yeah.
Like, it's just, like, I give him respect for going on, like, that show, which has been, like, pretty adversarial to Ro Khanna in the past, but at the same time, it's like, they just know that, like, these people are just fucking useless.
Yeah, and I guess just, like, the Progressive Party is effectively useless and dead. It's like they've really accomplished nothing. Bernie lost the presidency twice
and was with everything stacked. I mean, like, you know, like, I you know, 2020 wasn't as impressive, but in 2016 he really did get fucked. I mean, like,
absolutely,
by that
he
fucking
got
ghoul, you know.
And they're, I mean, it's the end of like a progressive Democratic Party.
Oh, it's been over for a while. I mean, like,
yeah,
like the fact, like, you know, basically, like, all these like squad people, like, we're electing in, like, until I see one of them finger point, like, literally put their finger this fucking close to Pelosi's face and go, you fucking insider trading fucking bitch.
We didn't talk about the insider trading.
I mean, what's really the point? I mean, like, obviously she's like, she just fucking enriches her whole life. I mean, you know, and like, people go like, what about McConnell? Well, we all know they fucking suck. It's but the people who are grinning and pretending like, we feed them, we feed them, we feed them, you know, like, good morning, Sunday morning. Like,
yeah,
that lady needs to fucking go.
I forgot about that interview. Feed them interview. Yeah, right. You do not feed these people.
Yeah. So, like I said in the last one, like, don't let national politics bother you. Like, all of you who are listening to this,
yeah,
don't let it bother you.
Focus on your community.
Run local, like, local, like, not even city council big. Like,
go to a city council meeting
and
sit in on one, take notes, yell at them. Yeah, exactly.
Like, they deserve it. And so, like, it's funny, like, you know, I've talked about running for local politics, and I actually forget often that you get paid to do this. I'm mm-hmm. like, I didn't even really care about the money. It's like, I just see people all around us that are struggling to fucking death.
They're suffering.
And it's like, and meanwhile, you know, I found out who our council person was, like, the other day, and where the fuck is she?
Yeah.
You know?
She came here for a block party and then left.
And took some pictures. NPR probably was like, look at this brave Latina woman. I mean, it's just such fucking bullshit. Like,
yeah. And then we went to our fucking local bar. The owner is such a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Ugh. Do we want to talk about that a little bit?
Nah.
I mean,
I'll handle that and then we'll report back.
And then we'll report back.
Because I'm about to, like, fucking destroy this person.
Oh,
so
I cannot wait.
I'll tell you all about that after
We're going to open up a southern cooking place right across the street with a bar.
This guy seriously underestimated how spiteful I can be. Like,
dude,
it's incredible.
We were doing a little personality test last night.
Mm-hmm.
All of the questions about revenge were like, absolutely, mm-hmm. I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, focus on your community. Clean up. Just even clean up trash. Like, do.
Yeah.
Like, it's all you can really do. This is all fucking theater. They don't care about us. And,
yeah.
You know, if we all kind of realized what we had in common instead of, like, what these, like, partisan divides are, we would January 6th, the Capitol, every fucking day.
Absolutely. So, I can't wait for the day that we actually decide to.
I think it's probably coming sooner than you think. But but anyway, we love you all.
Love you guys. We're out of here. When are we coming back? Not this Saturday.
Let's do next Wednesday at the same time. And then we'll be back to normal time after that, I think.
The immediately following Saturday.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So Wednesday next week, 4 p.m., we will be here again. We're changing our schedule a little bit just to be fluid with
social.
What we've got going on. Yeah. We have hosted so much recently.
I know. Yeah.
And I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We love you
No
all.
Complaints. Love you guys. See you guys soon. Bye-bye. Don't you know what's coming?